Welcome to a podcast by Michael Servetus on the Book of the Errors of the Trinity, written in 1531 when he was 19 years old. A rare book. Chapter 47. We are taught, not only by reasons but by numberless authorities, to avoid this plurality, and unless indeed I seemed out of my mind, I should bring into the discussion all the testimonies of the Gentiles, philosophers, poets, and sibyls cited by Firmianus Lactantius, that from them you might realize what a laughingstock you would be if you tried to sell them your three beings in place of one God. But let us prove the matter from Holy Writ, from the Old Testament as well as the New. One is good, even God. None is good, save one, even God. Are those not content, then, with the mere name of unity, who do not acknowledge the one in very deed, and turn aside from their artificial verbal essence to a plurality of beings? Unless you permit anyone here to misrepresent the matter, note that it is the Son that is speaking, from which it is evident that every sort of unity of God abides in the Father alone. And there is a weighty text to the effect that there is only God, the Father, and the Son, Jesus Christ. There is one God, it says, who is the Father, and one Lord, Jesus Christ. And there is one God and Father. I know not what madness it is in men that does not see that in the Scriptures every sort of unity of God is always referred to the Father. And for there is one God, one mediator, also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Again, when the Apostle speaks so many times of one God and his Christ, and says that this God is the Father of Jesus Christ, and that Christ Jesus is mediator, and that through him we have access to God, do you suppose it is to be understood that the first being is father of the second, and that through the second being we have access to the first? Chapter 48. Again, when Ignatius, Irenaeus, and other early writers dispute against heretics, saying that the Almighty God, who was the God of the Old Testament, the God of the Law and the Prophets, and is also the God of the New Testament, and that the same one is the Father of Jesus Christ, do you suppose it is to be understood that they were proclaiming the three separate beings? Likewise, Tertullian, though he seems not to be self-consistent, nevertheless proclaims many of the plainest truths in accordance with the apostolic tradition. Again, while it is an apocryphal book, still it is an ancient one, namely the Clementine Recognitions, in which Christ is very clearly proclaimed, even to the ignorant. And in it you will find the odor of an ancient simplicity widely diffused. But not to build on uncertain foundations, I pass that by, but will refer to the words of Ignatius to the Philippians. If one, he says, has proclaimed the God of the Law and the Prophets as one, but has denied that Christ is his Son, he is a liar. Also, if one confesses Christ Jesus, yet denies that the God of the Law and the Prophets is the Father of Christ, he does not stand fast in the truth. And in the epistle to the Tarsians, he says plainly of Christ that he is not the one who is God over all, but he is his Son. Indeed, as Justin, the disciple of the apostles, says, no faith would have been had in Christ himself had he said that another being than the Maker, Creator, and Father of all was God. You have it also in Irenaeus that it was the heresy of the Curdu that the Jehovah, who was proclaimed in the Law and the Prophets to be God, is not the Father of Jesus Christ. Look in that and the following chapter and find out what is the reason why those ways of speaking are not found among our Trinitarians. This reason alone is very strong. For if you consider well that there is a whole book of Irenaeus on this subject, and yet he never mentions their nonsense. Chapter 49. Again, in the Old Testament, we are commanded, and that more than once, not to acknowledge many gods, but only one. I am thy God, and thou shalt have no other gods beside me. And hear, O Israel, that Jehovah is our God, and Jehovah is one. This I wished to translate thus, because those that know not the proper meaning of the word are here most horribly deceived. And know therefore this day, and ponder it in thy heart, that God is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there is none else besides him. And in countless other passages, he is said to be the God of Israel, the only God, even he alone. Chapter 50. To these things they think that they can easily reply, but they make a show of words, and do not get the sense when they say that several beings are one essence, as if each being did not have its own existence. Indeed, as I shall show below, it is more fit that one being have several essences than that several beings have one essence. Although I have often enough sought to learn from them the difference between the beings and the natures, I have never been able to find out any other reason than that
Reish, Nun, Lamed
had this usage. Again, their defense may seem artificial without the witness of the scriptures, for of the one God there is no question, but of the three beings which they call persons, I find no mention, nor does scripture speak of an essence, nor of all their other doctrines, disputes of words, and profane babblings. O Timothy, turn away from novelties of words, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. And elsewhere, be not carried away by diverse and strange questions. Again, Paul forbids us to be led astray by disputes about words. But that their defense is merely verbal is now plain from what has been said. For admitting that there are three beings, which they call persons, by reasoning from a substitution of terms, they admit three entities, and consequently three substances. If God, therefore, has an absolute meaning, it plainly follows that they are real tritoids. And in consequence are really opposed to the scriptures and to the unity of God, and that they are sophistically defending one connotative God, wherefore they are hateful to God. Pray look at another foundation, for while admitting that there are three beings, they deny that there are three entities and three substances, for the reason that these nouns end in tia, hence relate to an essence. O monsters of the world, that God should be a jest to us because the ending of the words requires it, and that we should confess a plurality in God because one word requires it and not because another does, as though Hebrews, Greeks, and barbarians ought to have nouns ending in tia. See that all languages may have a fixed rule for making sport of God. Are these the verbal disputations which Paul abhors? And if you ask them why they utter those utterly meaningless things as fundamental truths, they will reply that they learn so by the usage of their masters. It is no concern of theirs if they make void the word of God, provided they preserve the leaven of their tradition. Chapter 51. Again, hear what view Scripture holds about persons, that they may understand that their usage is mightily like that of Scripture. For in Scripture, the outward form and appearance of a man is called his person, as when we say, he was a beautiful person, and it is so taken when it is said that God is no respecter of persons. because he has no respect to those outward differences as to whether one is male or female, bond or free, Jew or Greek. And it is so taken when it says that we are not to respect the person of the poor or the countenance of the mighty. And so the Greek word prosopon is used, which in Latin is rendered voltas, persona, aspectus, and faces. But apart from the scriptures, the meaning of the word persona is in itself so well known to the Latins that some devil must have suggested to them to invent mathematical persons and to thrust their imaginary and metaphysical beings upon us as persons. For in Christ shone forth one person of the deity, and in the appearance or utterances of God the Father, another, and in the sending of the Spirit, another. And thus in the gospel we know three persons, that is to say, by a divine manifestation. And it says another comforter, according to Tertullian, not as representing the substance, but the person, because there was another aspect and another form and disposition of deity. For scripture considers the manners of the appearances and not the metaphysical natures of the beings. Here investigate the causes from the beginning. What view tradition formerly held of persons, and how all things have been corrupted by the damage of the times. What a monster they have also made of the hypostasis, I shall say later on when we speak of the word. Chapter 52. Again, referring to what is proclaimed in Mark, "Hear, O Israel, thy God is one, and there is none other but him." And the second commandment is about one's neighbor, on which two commandments it says that the whole law hangeth, and the prophets. Thus, among all the commandments of the law, there is no command to believe in an imaginary Trinity. But there is one alone who said, I am, and besides me there is no Savior, and I am the Lord, and there is none else besides me. There is no God apart from me. There is no Lord. I am the Lord, and there is none else. You've been listening to On the Errors of the Trinity by Michael Servetus, a rare book.